Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. The way in which a man receives rebuke is an index of his character. Wicked people will turn on you and assault you verbally and sometimes even physically. However, a just man will be grateful because he realizes that godly correction makes him even wiser. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 9, verse 7, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his discussion of this chapter.
Verse 7, he that reproveth a scorner. The word scorner there describes someone that is a mocker, an arrogant cynic. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. It literally means invites insults. You ever been mocked for sharing just the wisdom of God? Have you? Well, I just believe that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Oh, you're older than Noah's Ark. Well, I believe in that too. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. He might get a black eye. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. He's going to hate you for trying to help him. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Now, in verse 7, it refers to the scorner and the wicked man. A scorner is a mocker, a person who expresses extreme contempt or disdain for the things of God. You know what I'm talking about. You're in the company of family or friends, and you're talking about, you know, whatever, just life and how's the family, how's the kids, or you're talking about sports or some other things. And then somehow the subject of God comes up, and you begin to share the Word of God. And then the eyes begin to roll. That's when, almost in concert, everybody then decides, it's time for me to get up and use the bathroom. They don't want to hear it. They simply do not want to hear it. Even though wisdom is crying out to them, they don't want to hear it. Wretched is the person when the wisdom of God is an abomination unto him. I got a text from a fellow pastor not too long ago, and the text said, "You are an abomination." I said, "What did I do to this guy?" And then there was the scripture in the next thread, Proverbs 29:29. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright is an abomination to the wicked. I said, thank you for the text. So I'm looking at a bunch of people. You are an abomination to the wicked, but you're the sweet fragrance of Christ. And I think we need to realize this. Because the world we live in is, by and large, not listening to the wisdom of God, making up their own rules, their own standards, their own right and wrong way of defining family or gender or whatever. Pick a topic. Everything's turned upside down now because the wisdom of the world has left God out of the equation. Other than him being maybe a concept, but not a real living person. We're living in a day and age when people hate those who stand for the uncompromising truth of God's word. 2 Peter 3 tells us that in the last days there will be mockers. Knowing this verse, 2 Peter 3:3, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, notice, walking after their own lusts and saying, where's the promise of his coming? Again, the Family Bible Network says, they who most need instruction are least ready to receive it because they understand not their own folly and therefore hate and despise reproof. Verse 8 contrasts a scorner with a wise man. Notice that when you rebuke a wise man, he will love you. Do you ever get upset when someone rebukes you? Anybody? Besides me? Thank you. Thank you. We'll talk about where liars go in the book of Revelation later. I'm not talking about outwardly, you see, because we're civilized enough to not show our hand. Some rebukes you and inside you're going, who the H-E double hockey sticks do you think you are? You're not saying it, but you're thinking it. As if you and I are beyond rebuke. But notice what it says here, beloved. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Psalm 141 verse 5 says, let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. We should be thankful when people rebuke us. Now, there's a way that some people rebuke us, even in the church. There's a way to do it. Someone comes, you know, pastor, you knucklehead. And they're right, but the way you're delivering the message is almost... You have to speak the truth in love. Proverbs 28:23 says, he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flatters with the tongue. Remember what Peter says about Paul in 2 Peter chapter 3, the man that rebuked him in Galatians chapter 2, publicly, he calls him our beloved brother Paul. He doesn't say, Peter, at the end of his life, that know-it-all, Paul. He says he's a beloved brother. A wise man knows that when he or she is rebuked in love, it is because someone loves you enough to not let you continue going in that foolish, difficult way. That's unloving. It's very unloving. A scorner will hate you and insult you. One commentator said, the trouble with many of us is that we would rather be destroyed by compliments than saved by constructive criticism. Most people would rather hear compliments than the instruction and wisdom of criticism. It is good. It's holy. We all need to be able to receive constructive criticism. We get so touchy-feely, don't we? But we have to get past that. If we love one another, we're going to, when it's correct and in the right way, to give godly wisdom and instruction and correction. We all need it. I know that I need it. I need it. You need it, we need it. That's how we grow. That's how we grow. One of the ways is by constructive criticism. Now notice, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Verse 9 tells us that a truly wise man is a person that has a teachable heart. And that man or that woman will keep on growing. A fool is a fool because he does not learn. He is like the dog that always returns to the vomit. We need correction, don't we? Brothers, sisters, right? The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Notice, for reproof, correction, instruction. Three out of four of the purposes of Scripture is to reveal to us how to live in a way of godly wisdom that glorifies God. Three out of four of instructive, our instructive things, that we might be furnished into all good works. Now look at verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning or the foundation of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Verse 10 gives the definition of true wisdom. What's the basis of true wisdom? Well, it's found in Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, but it's the fear of the Lord. We want to be wise, don't we? Family, don't we want to be wise? I don't want us to be cool. I don't want us to be hip. I don't want us to be relevant. I want us to be wise in a godly way. If we want to be wise, learn to reverence God. Have a holy fear of God. Ask God to help us as a church family how we can cultivate that awe of God. Ask God to reveal to us that ability to contemplate on His goodness, His greatness, His glory, His majesty, His wisdom. He's our Father, the one who created the universe. And He says, my sons, my daughters, I want you to walk in my wisdom. Only a fool would say no. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Who's a fool? A person who says in their heart, there is no God. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Job 28:28, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Again, Charles Bridges writes, the child of God has one dread, to offend his father, and only one desire, to please and delight him. Lord, give us a fear of you, a healthy, godly fear of you. Solomon, who was the wisest man on the planet, well, he didn't turn out to be too wise. He wasn't supposed to multiply women, horses, or silver. So what does old wise Solomon do? He multiplies women, horses, and silver. You see, you can have wisdom, but if you don't apply it, it's not worth anything. So at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, when wisdom is crying about what is life supposed to be like under the sun, how do we live on this fallen planet? After he describes every idol and every pleasure that man looks for, and he describes it all as vanity, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for that is the whole duty of man. Again, the Five Family Bible Network says, the beginning of wisdom is to know our ignorance and come to God for knowledge. The foundation of all true wisdom is the knowledge and fear of God. A wicked heart separates men from God and keeps them in darkness and self-delusion. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the holy. It actually reads, the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The knowledge that is spoken of here is referring to a heart knowledge, not a head knowledge. And the knowledge of the Holy One is the knowledge, that intimate knowledge, that relationship that you and I have by grace alone, through faith alone, in the living God through Jesus Christ. The prophet Jeremiah said in chapter 9, beginning in verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. I love that passage of Scripture. There's a lot of people glorying in their wisdom. There's a lot of people glorying in their natural might. There's a lot of people glorying in how much money, how much wealth, how many toys they have on earth. But the Lord says, glory in this, that you understand and you know me. We have eternal life. But have we forgotten really what eternal life is? Jesus describes it for us in John chapter 17, verse 3. This is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's eternal life. That's the wisdom of God, walking in this intimate fellowship with the living God, with Jesus Christ. That's godly wisdom, knowing God, not knowing about him. Knowing him personally, knowing him intimately, having conversation with him, talking to him, listening to him. That's godly wisdom. The last words of Peter, blessed Peter. A lot of preachers, myself included, have picked on Peter. But his last words, as far as Scripture is concerned, is but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. After all Peter went through, he goes, this is what I want to pass on to you. I'd probably have my notebook out. Let's record it. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So be it. Bye-bye. See you in heaven. What was Paul's cry in Ephesians chapter 3? 30 years after he met Christ, that I might know him. What was Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus? I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I think it would be a wonderful thing, beloved, if you and I, as a church family, began to take some of these prayers and prayed them for one another, pray them for our church family. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Lord, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. K.P. Yohannan, the president of Gospel for Asia, said in one of his books that the Father calls the church to be followers of Christ, not just students of Christianity. There's a lot of students of Christianity. Believe it or not, Jesus has a lot of fans. He had a lot of fans at Woodstock, and I can tell you, we weren't followers. A lot of fans. Jesus isn't looking for fans. There's no Jesus Christ fan club. You're a follower. That's what we're called to be, a follower. Intimacy with Christ, not information about Christ, is what eternal life is all about. The true theologian in God's eyes are those people with a broken and contrite heart and who humble themselves under the word of God. Now notice what wisdom says. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If you be wise, you should be wise for yourself. In other words, you will benefit from it. Your wisdom, this walking in this godly wisdom, you'll benefit from it. How many of you could say, and I know what you can say, that your life has been so much better after you've come to Jesus Christ? It's hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. It kind of like takes you out of the rat race of Mr. and Mrs. Smith and who has and who doesn't have, doesn't it? Your days are multiplied. The years of your life shall be increased. Now, that isn't guaranteeing that you're going to live to be long life. Jesus was crucified at the age of 33. But the quality, he's talking about the quality of your life, the quality of the man or woman that is walking with Jesus Christ is so rich and so beautiful. There's nothing like it. But if you scorn, what? Scorn the wisdom of God, you alone will bear it. That's just a life principle. God offers his wisdom. But there's another menu. It's the wisdom of this world. And Paul writes to the church in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You see, there is that choice there, isn't there? You can either do things God's way or the world's way. The right way or the wrong way. The wise way or the foolish way. You see, my friends, if you are determined to go your own way, do your own thing, you and I will be the loser, not God. In God's moral government, man has been given the capacity to choose wisely or unwisely. And depending on how we choose, we will reap the fruits of those decisions, both here and forever. And then verse 13, we go to the other woman, the foolish woman. This is not only a description of a woman, it can be used as a picture of this world system. Notice Verse 13, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. Clamorous means noisy, loud. Isn't the world noisy and loud? And whether you want to hear it or not, they just stuff their wisdom down your throat. And aren't they the same ones that say, well, don't stuff what we say down your throat? Well, wait, we get a steady diet of it from the world. She knows nothing. The world knows nothing. The fallen world system knows nothing about the kingdom of God, the glory of God, the gospel of God. They know nothing about it. The foolish wisdom is a type of this world's system. Every day, 24 hours a day, the world blasts us with its Christless, anti-Messiah, humanistic philosophy. It's brash, it's loud, and it doesn't care whether or not you want to hear it. That's why I really don't like social media that much. In fact, the only time that I will go on Facebook is if I'm either photoshopped in a photo. Who? What photo? With who? Where? You can put me anywhere with anybody. Or to see, did anybody reply listening to one of the teachings that is live? And sometimes people that I've known from long ago go, Ray, is that you? Are you the Ray Viola that graduated from Spencer Board High School in 1966? Yeah. And then after that, I don't like social media too much. So these two worldviews, it's kind of like Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so. Two streams of wisdom coming at us. Now notice, this wisdom imitates the wisdom of God. You see, the devil isn't creative. He can't create. He can only imitate. And so now this worldly wisdom, also personified as a woman, she sits in the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call strangers or passengers who go right on their ways. And so folly personifies this woman at the high places, calling out to passengers, whoso is simple. Well, that's the same invitation that was given by who? Godly wisdom, right? Whoso is simple, whoso is naive, let him turn in here. And as for him that wants understanding, she says to him, the same thing that godly wisdom, the woman godly wisdom offers, this foolish wisdom offers. In other words, don't listen. Don't read that book. Don't listen to those who tell you about how God created the heavens and the earth. Don't listen to people that tell you that in the beginning God made them male and female. Don't listen to that. You think that's going on today on our planet? Yeah. Yeah. Our planet is under severe attack, last days attack. Like the days of Lot, like the days of Noah, like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, under attack. Not only does godly wisdom cry out to the simple, so does the foolish woman. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.